We are in Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2. Got started with that a little bit last time, but we're going to open up with verse 1 again here tonight. Proverbs 2:1. All right, my son. And we know this is Solomon talking to his son, but we also know it's the Lord talking to us, right? My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver, and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord, and find the knowledge of God. All right, now, all that begins back in verse 1. Of course, my son, if thou wilt receive my words. We talked a little bit in closing last time, and not just about the Word of God, but the words of God. The old Blessed Hope soapbox, you know, the words of the living God, the King James Bible. Well, my son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee. Okay, so you receive them and then you hide them. Verse 2, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom. Now, what we just read there from verses 1 through 5 goes completely against any of the little humanistic things that that you hear. For instance, as far as Robert Shuler thinking along these lines, these are not the lines that he thinks along. When it comes, as far as getting wisdom, understanding, crying after knowledge, understanding, that's not how he goes at it. If you've ever been to Alcoholics Anonymous or NA, Narcotics Anonymous, or whatever the other anonymouses are out there, this is not, you'll find that their processes, although they acknowledge God, their processes are not like what you read in verses 1 through 5. Okay? It's just amazing that sometimes we look at these things, you know, the Bible, and we kind of shrug our shoulders, and then we'll go listen to something a man made up. All right? But it's not right. Now, verse 1, my son, if thou will receive my words and hide my commandments with thee. And notice that you have to receive and hide the commandments. You've got to receive the book, got to receive the words and hide my commandments with thee. And that leads to something. So that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom. Okay, those two things in verse 1 lead you in verse 2 to incline your ear unto wisdom. I mean, to incline it. You see, you read in a little while down here that there's this woman, and her house inclineth unto death. I don't know if you've ever walked on an incline, if you've ever done any roofing. Well, you've walked on an incline all day, and when you hop off the ladder to walk on flat ground, you feel a little funny for a little while. And that's because you've had to battle to keep from going downhill all day. If you've ever been to a fair or something that had a house of mirrors or whatever, sometimes they put inclined floors in those things where it helps you to kind of, you know, it funnels you a certain way. Well, folks, if you receive the Word of God, and if you will hide His commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear into wisdom, I mean, those are two pluses in verse 1, for your ear being inclined toward wisdom. Now, you know what, folks? The fact that you go and get a degree in college doesn't mean that you're inclined towards God's wisdom or knowledge. Okay? The fact that you're willing to go take 18, 21, or 24 hours of coursework in a semester and complete it with straight A's and all that kind of thing does not necessarily mean that your heart, that your ear is inclined towards what it ought to be inclined toward. It's a completely different education. This is something completely different. Verse 2, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom. It is your job to see to it that your ear is inclined to wisdom. If I sit here and preach, and once in a while, sometimes some of you sleep, and often, by the way. But Others of you are pretty attentive, and once in a while I can tell that when I drop my voice, that, you know, you kind of look up and you start kind of doing this, you know, like this. Like, whatever ear is your better ear, you kind of incline it to see if you make sure that you pick up some of the lighter words. Well, that's what it's talking about, folks. I mean, at least when somebody does that, you at least know that they're not sleeping. You at least know that they're not... And inclining your head straight down to your chest, that's not what... That's not inclining your ears. That's not what we're talking about. But you've seen puppies, you know, do that. They go like that. Well, amen. Well, verse chapter 2, verse 1, "My son, if thou receive my words..." Have you? I mean, listen, folks, you know you can sit in a King James Bible-believing church and not be a Bible believer. You know that? Now, you can sit and do the rah-rah thing. I mean, I've found people like that. I don't mean here, but, I mean, you'd be surprised sometimes. I mean, you just come in and go along, go with the flow, you know. Or do you believe every single word in the book that you got in your lap? Well, good. Amen. "My son, if thou receive my words and hide my commandments with thee..." I mean, do you memorize the Bible? Do you undertake to put it away? And I don't mean necessarily just memorization. Folks, you got to put away some of the things you're taught. I mean, you got to digest, you know, bigger morsels sometimes, so that you can present 4 or 5 verses on eternal security if you need to. Okay? So you have a clue as to why you believe that the rapture is going to be before the tribulation. I mean, just don't do this, okay? "Well, because, well, Stephen said so." Just don't do that, okay? Anyway, verse 2. Yeah, somebody did that, didn't they? Because they're laughing back down the back. All right, 2:2. "So that..." The things in verse 1 will lead you to "so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom." Now, not the world's wisdom, God's wisdom. We're not talking about, you know, going to class somewhere to learn how to, you know, hotwire a car or something, all right? But we're talking about the Lord's wisdom. It's encouraging when folks will come out on a Wednesday night, you know, when they have plenty of excuses to stay home. It's cold, it's wet, the roads are slick, and it's Christmas season, and, you know, maybe I can catch Walmart at a not-so-busy time. Okay, it's encouraging to have a room full of people that come to hear the Bible preached and taught. You didn't come for a living Christmas tree. You didn't come for a passion play. You didn't come because we had food tonight. Okay, that's a blessing. Verse 2, "So that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding." Now, what you learn pretty quick is that the Christian life is not a place for a bunch of laziness. Spiritually. When you look at the verbs here in these first 4 or 5 verses, receive, hide, incline, apply, cry, lift up, seek, search, you know, those are not passive, those are not passive verbs. That's not somebody that just shows up in church and flops down and there he is, okay? If the Christian life is really not a place for a bunch of laziness, it's a blessing that you can still get to heaven and be lazy. Because if you trust Christ your Savior, then you're going, whether you like it or not. Okay? That's a blessing. But as far as advancing anywhere in a Christian life, it's not a place for laziness. Remember that slothful man in that vineyard? And this guy said, he walks by, he said, "And I took note and I learned some things." You know, that vineyard is sitting there and it's all grown over, and it's a sad thing. Well, chapter 2, verse 2, "So that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding," wisdom and understanding, incline and apply. Verse 3, "Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding." Cry to who? Lift up your voice to who? Well, the Lord, right? So you're going to have to pray to get it. Did you ever pray to get something? I mean, not just some, you know, some esoteric nugget from the Bible. "Oh Lord, help me to understand the myrtle trees." Well, pray that too, but You know, how about when you really need an answer? Instead of going and finding some high school girlfriend and sitting her down with a cup of coffee and crying into your coffee for a while, why don't you cry to the Lord and see if the Lord will give you an answer? Right? Verse 3, yea, if thou criest after knowledge. Now notice the things that we're doing this for, okay? Verse 2, wisdom. Verse 2, understanding. Verse 3, knowledge. Verse 3, again, understanding. Again, I remind you that, you know, if you start talking about this stuff too heavy, I dare say that in the average megachurch that nobody is going through Proverbs like we're going through Proverbs. And one of the reasons they're not is because you know what they firmly believe? They firmly believe in their hearts that knowledge puffeth up. And they know so many people that know so much that they just got, you know, proud and arrogant. And what that means is that those people probably learned some Bible and those people aren't too interested in being in their church because they're a bunch of babies. All right, I know that knowledge puffeth up, but do you know how many times you are urged in the Bible to know something, to understand something, to be wise about things, to be discreet about things, to be prudent about things, to know the mysteries of God, in fact, to be stewards of the mysteries of God? Do you know all the things that by the time you reach the end of your Christian life that you're supposed to know? A lot more than you know now. Truly. I mean, a lot more than you know now. Verse 3, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding. I'm not talking about trivial pursuit knowledge. I'm not talking about Bible trivia knowledge. I'm not just talking about you being able to name all the kings of Judah just so, you know, you can show everybody at the next Christian cocktail party you go to just how much Bible you know. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about that. Verse 4. Hey, it's the Christmas season. Merry Christmas. Bah humbug. Verse 4. If thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasure. He's talking about wisdom and understanding in verse 2 and verse 3, almost as if they're one, and they're so kin to one another, they are almost one. But if thou seekest her as silver. Now let me ask you a question. Would you rather be wise or have $100,000 in the bank? Maybe you shouldn't open your mouth. Because some of you are just going to lie. No, I'm kidding. But you stop and think about it, you know, on a whole. I mean, you think about, okay, the Bible says what I think it says, right? It does, and means what I think it means, and I'm pretty sure it does. For instance, look in 3:15. Notice verse 13, happy is the man that findeth wisdom and gets understanding, so on and so forth, right? Verse 15, she is more precious than rubies, and all the things that thou canst desire are not to be compared unto it. All right. Then, if that's true, and some of the things are true that some of you have said about the church you go to, about getting fed, and about having, you know, appreciating the, you know, when you're up, you really love the Bible a lot. Now, when you're down, it's, but, you know, on a good day, if all the things that you've said are true about the Bible when you're in a good mood, and when the Lord's been good to you, when you're in a good mood, and all those things, then what are you worried about money for? Because if that's true, then in some respects, you've kind of arrived. I'm not saying that you know everything. I'm not saying that you understand everything. But I'm saying you're well on your way. For a guy who's made his first million in the world, don't you think that you've reached something like a plateau like that in your Christian life in the first 5 or 10 years that you've been in church? I mean, don't you know some things that you've never dreamed of 15, 20 years ago? So, I mean, if that's true, then a bunch of us here are a lot better off than sometimes we're willing to even admit. All right, verse 4. If thou searchest for her as silver. Man, that thing over there said that she's more precious than rubies, and all things that thou canst desire are not to be compared unto it. Now, you know, folks, that there's a handful of verses that usually stop me kind of cold. And whenever I read Proverbs 3:15, that one stops me cold just about every time. Because I'm an American. And, you know, deep down in the cold pit of my little heart, there are some things that on a bad day I really want. Americans can flat your desire some things if they turn it loose. Amen? Well, you know, you look at that thing, and all the things that thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. You realize how many of these nutcases run around the country? You know, they've got $100 million in the bank. They're 30 years old. They're professional athletes. And their lives are still shattered because they don't have a Super Bowl ring. You know how vain and stupid that sounds? And you find some people, you talk to some people, and they are they are miserable because they've been laboring for all the years that they've been working to make their first million. And they haven't made their first million yet. They just keep being thwarted. You know, they've been playing the casinos and the slots and a little bit of everything for years, and they just never hit the jackpot. But, brother, people are vain. You know that? You look at that thing there, and, you know, something that you are exposed to every time you open the Bible. Something you are exposed to every single time you kneel on your knees in prayer and start talking to the Lord about His book. Every time you come to church and somebody's teaching the Bible or preaching the Bible. Verse 15 says that all things that thou canst desire are not to be compared unto it. Not even be compared. Now look, I'm not going to be able to preach it, so it makes a difference to you. I guess you're going to have to go home and think about it. But that goes against everything in the American dream in 3:15. Because 3:15 is about knowledge and wisdom and understanding. All right, back to verse 4, chapter 2, verse 4. If thou seekest for her as silver, and boy, we do seek silver, don't we? People can find ways. I'm not much of an entrepreneur. I'm not very inventive with ways to make money. If you asked me how to launder money, I'd just leave it in my pants pocket and run through the washer. I don't know how to do that, okay? But people can get, not even necessity is the mother of invention, because people figure out a way to make money. They search out a way, don't they? Well, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then you're going to reach a whole new plateau. Then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord. Isn't that something? You got to go through all that in verse 1 and verse 2 and verse 3 and verse 4 to get down to understanding the fear of the Lord. Verse 5, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Okay, understand some things. All right, again, look at chapter 2, verse 9. Let's talk about this understanding. It keeps bringing up understanding over and over. All right, 2:9. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. I don't know how many of those things in that verse the Clintons understand. Or, for that matter, the rest of the candidates understand. Look in chapter 20, verse 24. 20, 24. You know what I've learned? I've learned that men think they understand stuff, and they don't understand. I'm not talking about, I guess more of what I'm talking about is, people think that they understand life, that they understand how things are. They don't understand how things are. They think they understand how things are done and how things should be done and how the world works and so on. They don't understand. They really don't. They're under delusion. Look in Proverbs chapter 20, verse 24. Proverbs 20, 24. A man's goings are of the Lord. How can a man then understand his own way? Now, folks, that verse isn't saying that everything that man does, God ordains, and therefore when a man steals, defrauds, rapes, kills, and murders, that's of the Lord. That's not what it's saying. It's saying that man's goings are of the Lord. How can a man then understand his own way? There's things in this life that the Lord ordains, and no matter what a man does, the Lord winds up having him painted in the corner the Lord wants him in. Okay? And if the Lord can get you in the corner where He wants you, and if he you know, when the Lord sets His mind to it and He decides to put you between the rock and the hard place, and you all the time thought you knew what you were doing, you know what was just proved? You didn't know what you were doing. Folks, that's why you need understanding. That's why sometimes in life you get in a place where, you know, it's a strange place because you thought you knew what you were doing. And you wound up here, and it's disorienting because you thought you had all the steps laid out and the plan seemed to be coming together, but you wound up in this place, and it's obvious that you didn't know what you were doing. Well, folks, that's exactly what it's talking about. You know what you need? You need the understanding of God. That's what it's talking about, the wisdom and the knowledge and understanding of God. I need you to see a couple of more verses. Keep your finger in Proverbs for a minute, but go over to Daniel. Go over to Daniel chapter 10. Daniel chapter 10. We're talking about understanding here for a minute. Daniel chapter 10, verse 12. Then said he to me, "Fear not, Daniel. For from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words." Now, I know this has to do with an angel and all that kind of thing, but what you just saw there was that Daniel did what Proverbs 2 said. He inclined his ear, he applied his heart, he was crying after and laboring for what? Understanding in verse 12. And what you learn from that is that when you do that, that the Lord does respond. Okay? But first thing you got to do is admit you don't know what's going on. Right? Sure, it's quiet in here. Do you know what's going on? Good. Amen. Look in Proverbs chapter 14. Proverbs 14. Talking about understanding. Proverbs 14. Proverbs 14:8, "The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way, but the folly of fools is deceit." Now, there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death, right? And man is just famous for thinking that he knows what he's doing, but the truth is he's in folly and he's just deceived. He's just deluded. It says in verse 8, "The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way." All right? Now look at a couple more here and then we'll go on. All right? 1925. Proverbs 1925. "Smite a scorner and the simple will beware." So you got a scorner there and he just deserves getting hit. And the simple, however, will learn from it. But notice, "And reprove one that hath understanding, and he will understand knowledge." Now, reprove one that hath understanding, and he will understand more. Right? You know, we're going to see it in a little while, but, you know, there's some things that to whom the Lord's already given you some, he'll give you more. But if you don't do something with some of the understanding, some of the knowledge the Lord's already given you, he'll take what you've got away. We'll see that in a minute. But verse 25 again, "Reprove one that hath understanding, and he will understand knowledge." Let me ask you, can you take reproof? Can you Can you take somebody standing up and bawling you out? You know? Because it says there that that's what you need. It says there that if you reprove someone that has understanding, he'll understand knowledge. I mean, when you get to it, you say, you know, I'm going to church, man, and he's always yelling and negative and critical and all that kind of thing. But, you know, that's a that's really a blessing, because if as bad as it gets, as you come to church where you leave feeling worse than when you came, that's not so bad. I mean, that's better than the Lord having to get your attention with a car accident. You know, well, I just went in today, you know, expected to get a Christmas message, and instead he preached on hell. You know, bawled me out, and, you know, I just don't understand. Well, you know what, then, you know, maybe he got your attention there, and he won't have to get your attention some other way. All right, one more, Proverbs 28:5, and then we'll go to something else. Proverbs 28:5. Proverbs 28:5. You'd be surprised how resilient people are to reproof. Be surprised probably in this room how get off on some subjects, and even though you don't show it outwardly, the old neck gets stiff, and if somebody looked closely, the vein on the side of your temple throbs a little bit, you know, and don't like it a bit. Anyway, Proverbs chapter 28, verse 5. Evil men understand not judgment, but they that seek the Lord understand all things. You know what, folks? Half the battle in this life is keeping before the Lord on things. You know? It's about going to the Lord with things you don't understand, things you think you understand, and all that. Evil men understand not judgment. Anybody that you've ever heard get on a radio or whatever and go to the Greek to overthrow judgment, that ever quoted, judge not lest you be judged, to keep you from judging something that's wicked. You know what they are? They're an evil man. They're evil. Okay, back to Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2, and notice verse 5. Then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Not just knowledge about God, but God's knowledge about things. You see that? Again, it's like from Sunday School Sunday. It's like the love of God. The love of God can be God loving me or me loving God. The love of God was manifest toward me through Christ, God loving me. But my love of God is what? Sometimes lukewarm. Right? But that's my love toward God. So, in that passage right there, the knowledge of God is not just God's knowledge. The knowledge of God is you knowing God, but it's also God's knowledge about things. And you want the mind of the Lord, so you need that. All right, verse 6. For the Lord giveth wisdom. So the fact that you got a master's and a doctorate from somewhere doesn't mean that you got wisdom. It means that you got their brand of something or another, and you got a degree. I got 2 degrees. That doesn't mean I'm wise. The degree doesn't make anything, right? Well, for why? For the Lord giveth wisdom. The Lord gives it. There's no if your wisdom didn't come from the Lord, it's no good. For the Lord giveth wisdom. And it goes on to say, out of His mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. And that gets back to verse 1, doesn't it? The words. Okay, what you need is something out of God's mouth. What comes out of people's mouth is words. You need those very words. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of His mouth cometh knowledge. Look in Psalm 89. Psalm 89. Psalm 89, verse 34. Anybody that thinks that the Lord is not interested in the words saying what the words say? I was telling you, you know, here a few weeks ago, there was a guy in church. We sat down and talked a little while afterwards, and, you know, I showed him, what is it, Mark 10:34, where you know, it's hard for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God, right? New Bibles change that thing to say, it's hard to enter into the kingdom of God. And I showed it to him. He said, I don't see any difference. Well, you don't want to see any difference. But when, you know, you compare what they say, and then, you know, then you pretend it doesn't make any difference. But it does make a difference. For instance, Psalm 89, verse 34. My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that is gone out of my lips. Look in, look what they did to the Lord Jesus Christ. Look in Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. This is how man does things. What comes out of God's mouth is holy. And so men's approach then is to try to trap God. They tried to do it here with Jesus Christ on earth, and they try to do it all the time with the Bible. Luke chapter 11, and notice verse 53. And as he said these things unto them, the scribes and the Pharisees began to urge him vehemently and to provoke him to speak of many things, laying wait for him and seeking to catch something out of his mouth that they might accuse him. That's what they do with the Bible. You know that? I don't know if you've ever seen it applied this way, but thinking about it that way, look in Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, verse 4. Romans 3, 4. God forbid, yea, let God be true, but every man a liar, as it is written, that thou, he's quoting Psalms 51, but that thou, talking about God, that thou, God, mightest be justified in thy sayings, and mightest overcome when thou art judged. You know what people do all the time? They judge the Bible. They judge what came out of God's mouth. But one day what's going to be shown is that God was true and every man's a liar. And what's going to be done in the end is that every word that came out of God's mouth was true. All right, back to Proverbs chapter 2, verse, Proverbs 2, 6. Proverbs 2, 6. Proverbs 2, 6. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Okay, you believe that? The Lord giveth wisdom. Out of His mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. Now, this is what I was talking. I made mention of it just a little while ago. A couple verses to go to. Look in Daniel chapter 2 again. Look in Daniel again, rather. Daniel chapter 2 this time. Okay, the Lord gives wisdom. Out of His mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. Okay, so He gives it. Daniel chapter 2, verse 21. Notice how this is worded. Daniel 2:21, and He changeth the times and the seasons, and He removeth kings, and setteth up kings. And then He giveth wisdom unto the wise, and knowledge to them that know understanding. Now there's something that's kind of, you know, hidden there unless you really take note of it. And that, you know who He gives wisdom to? He gives wisdom to the wise. And it says that He gives knowledge to them that already know something. Now, if you want to see this in action, look over in Matthew. Matthew chapter 13. And it's a great lesson. Matthew chapter 13. It relates to line upon line, line upon line, precept upon precept. Here a little, there a little. It means that you take the little bit that God gives you to start, and you got to do the right thing with what the Lord gives you to start with. For instance, I tell you this, folks, that if, for instance, the Lord presents His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the perfect, spotless Lamb without blemish, and there was no blame in Him, there was no sin in Him, and He presents that Savior, and the world rejects Him, and He dies, and He rises from the dead and ascends back to heaven. And the Lord shows up on a dark hour on your sick bed and shows you that the Lord Jesus Christ is your answer, not your religion, not your good works, not your crosses, and not your prayers, and not your this, and not your that, your other. And then he shows you that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and that what you need is him, not a religion. Him, by faith, right? And you say, no. Okay, then folks, the Lord has nothing more that he's going to trust you with. I mean, if you're not going to start there, he's not going to skip that step and give you something more. You know what I'm saying? Now watch this in action. Look in Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13, verse... let me see, where am I going to start here? Notice verse, 4. When he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. This is talking about the Word of God, the seed sown. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground, and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 34-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And notice, and the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? And he answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you, notice, to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But to them it is not given. All right, you have to acknowledge the fact the Lord spake in parables. And some of the time he spoke in parables, he said, why, just to deceive people? No, so people would have to make an effort to understand, right? There has to be some effort put into understanding the things of God. God gives the wisdom, but you do need to want it. Now then, look in verse 12. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given. Hath what? Knowledge in verse 11, right? Well, you could say wisdom, even understanding, but it's given to you to know. Whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not knowledge, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore speak out of them in parables, because they seeing see not. I mean, those folks stood there and saw the Lord Jesus Christ. They saw what he did. And we just read, you know, back in Luke chapter 11, that having seen what he had, raised the dead, healed the lepers, cleanse the lepers, feed the 4,000, feed the 5,000, they're still standing around, a bunch of lawyers, trying to catch something out of his mouth they can exploit. Okay, well, what they knew about him, they weren't good stewards with. And so he took away the rest of it from them. And so that's why he says what he says, verse 13, therefore speak out of them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and not perceive. There is no place like America for this. People routinely set forward Jesus Christ, certain of his attributes. There just aren't that many Americans who haven't some familiarity with Jesus Christ. And if they usually can't verbalize it, but once you remind them that he was the Son of God, that he was virgin born, I remember something about that. Folks, that's somebody that saw and didn't want to see no more, didn't do anything with what they saw, and so the Lord took it away. So you better be careful with what the Lord shows you, amen? All right, back to Proverbs 2. Proverbs 2, verse 6. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. And you know, you like this, he layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. I mean, folks, this is not some second-class merchandise. He layeth up sound wisdom. I mean, The wisdom that says that in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth beats the heck out of the idea that we came from monkeys. I mean, you talk about a good way to drive yourself nuts. Just think about your great-grandfather being a monkey. And before that, somewhere back there, your great-great-great-great-great-grandmammy was a salamander or something. I mean, you talk about a way to drive yourself up the wall, right? Don't you need to know that somebody cared enough for you to create you, give you some sense, and then gave you light so you could live your life and, you know, in a path that leads you right? The Lord layeth up sound wisdom, folks. This is not junk stuff. You hear all the time nowadays, you know, when the whole science versus faith debate comes up, that, you know, well, you know, science is extremely condescending. I mean, extraordinarily condescending. Well, faith has its place, but it has no place being taught inside science and school and all that kind of stuff. No, it ought to be taught above it. Because the sound of, I mean, do you know how many times scientists have been wrong? Oh, brother, they still can't decide whether coffee is killing you or whether it's health food. It's true. Every once in a while, you know, you get little bits and pieces where all the stuff that they've been feeding us about, you know, a high-fat diet and a high-salt diet and all this kind of stuff is actually maybe not so true. Well, that's all you've been hearing for 30 years. But how could you just say, well, it just may not be that true? Well, somebody was wrong. All right? God's never been wrong. Brother, folks, God lays up sound wisdom. Look in chapter 3, verse 21. Look in 3:20. We're almost done. 3:21. My son, talking about the words of God now, let not them depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. That word of God, the word of God is sound wisdom. One more and we're done, all right? Look at chapter 8, verse 14. Chapter 8, verse 14. The context is verse 12, I, wisdom, dwell with prudence. So we're talking about wisdom. Counsel is mine, verse 14, and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. You want some unsound wisdom? Go listen to Al Gore. You want some unsound wisdom? Boy, you go listen to some of these, you know, political candidates talk about, you know, what they, you know, what their goal is for Israel, or what their goal is for the economy, or what their goal is for, you know, health care and all that kind of stuff in America. You don't know what they're doing. You don't know what they're doing. The Lord never yet called you to worry about the health care system. The only reason you're worried about it is because you are worried about you. He never called you to worry about the health care system. He never called you to worry about the environment. Fine, don't go dump sewage in the river. Don't do that. But you had sense enough not to do that anyway. The Lord never called you to fret and worry about that kind of stuff. All right. Any questions or comments? Let's see. Oh, amen. That was off the subject. You're doing that more and more as you get older. Anything else? All right, let's turn and sing one more. It's been a while since we've sung number 508. So if you can get the energy to sing it with some zest, let's do so. Number 508.
Thank you.
appreciate your goodness to us. Thank you for the Word of God, for the sound wisdom you laid up for us, the understanding and the knowledge of God. We pray that you would help us to labor in that. Pray that you'd bless us here this week, grant safety, Father, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.